Congratulations to you and your team, Amotai, because even before Amotai with the Southern Initiative, working very hard, you've been working very hard, trying to ensure that Māori businesses are front and centre of contracts and procurement. And, you know, now we do have a government that seems very focused on ensuring, particularly for employment purposes, but also too for economic development and generational wealth development as well, too, for our whānau Māori, that it does happen. And so we've got this government procurement strategy. Is it going to make the difference that Minister Willie Jackson says it will?
Absolutely. Look, you know, it's not a silver bullet because one doesn't exist, but it is a game changer. And we've seen how transformative it has been for the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Island economy across the ditch in Te Whenua Moimoia. We've seen the same type of thing happening for African American brothers and sisters in the States and First Nations peoples in Canada and in the United States as well. So it's really tried and tested. We're not introducing anything new. In fact, we're some 60 years behind the United States. This whole supplier diversity movement and making our economy more inclusive and fairer and leveling the playing field came out of the civil rights movement of the United States. And I think it's got such a wonderful, special whakapapa. And here we are, you know, some 60 years later, starting on our own journey. So I'm really confident that if we approach this with the same kind of ambition and determination as our forebears did in crossing, settling the entire Pacific, this is going to be amazing for our Māori economy.
It's not as though we aren't in this space anyway with the different types of businesses that Māori have built. We are able to confidently tender for contracts, but there have been obstacles for us. There have been hurdles. I'll go back to the original statement. Are we in a good position? Are there businesses? Are there businesses in Tamaki Makaurau, as an example, that are shovel ready, so to coin an old minister's phrase, shovel ready to pick up these contracts and to tender for them?
Absolutely. We have got all of the ingredients here, and all they need to be is assembled. One of the most amazing things about the Māori economy here in Tāmaki is that 72% of our asset base is in privately owned hands. That's Māori small and medium-sized enterprises. They are the backbone of our economy. And we at the Southern Initiative knew instinctively that they were the overlooked, undervalued change makers hiding in plain sight. That if we could really pour a lot more gasoline on that fire, man, it's going to spread quickly. And we've shown that it has. We've got businesses in every conceivable area. I mean, we were recently asked by one government department if we had helicopter operators. And lo and behold, we do. I was asked by one project for molded earplugs, and we actually have a Niuean-owned molded earplug business, only one of three in New Zealand. And so we are everywhere. We've got people who do escalators. You know, we've got lots of people in professional services. All we're doing is making the playing field fairer so that they've got a fair go at being able to do business with people like us at the Auckland Council or central government. We're such big spenders, and we will continue to be so for forever, basically. We're always going to have to build stuff, fix roads, etc. So this is a really great thing that the government has done, following the lead of Auckland Council.
That is very true, following the lead of Auckland Council, because you had recognised the untapped potential or the untapped ability for our city to be serviced by these businesses, Māori businesses. That's absolutely true. But can you tell us then why it is or why it was that many of our businesses were unable to meet the criteria, to tender, to they seemed reticent, not confident to tender. When they did tender, they missed out. And not just ones or two missing out, but, you know, swaths of us continue to miss out, in spite of the fact that we had confidence in ourselves. I'm talking about Māori businesses. And, you know, we backed ourselves, but it seemed as though, you know, we had to draw a different picture for others to see that potential.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think there, this is part of the transformation that is happening around how we use the procurement process. It has been a process of compliance, administrative, and those processes are primarily have been built for the incumbent contractors. So it wasn't just Māori and Pacifica businesses that really struggled to get a foot in the door. Actually, it's all SMEs. Our procurement processes tend to favour those businesses who can hire someone whose only job is to deal with that process. So that's always going to favour big business, number one. The second thing that, you know, I think has really been unhelpful is our contracts being so enormous, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars in some cases. And actually what we're saying is let's break down those contracts so that they are more accessible to small and medium-sized businesses like the Māori businesses that we work with. So actually, it goes back to my point about levelling the playing field. If you make the bar so high that actually only the big multinationals have any chance of being able to complete the administrative tasks, of being able to tender to us, guess what result you get? So if we make the process fairer, by ensuring that no one should be disadvantaged because they don't have the resources to hire someone to write their bid. It's not a good way to do business, and it's certainly not a good way to ensure that we've got a more sustainable market going into the future.
That's a really interesting point that you raised, was about the economies of scale. So it was the larger organisations that were able to take the full weight of a project because of the multi-millions of dollars, and because they just had economies of scale, of work capacity, you know, all of that operational stuff. So totally get that. And great, then breaking it down. I guess one of the things that would prevent maybe other councils from doing it, they would say that it's more expensive if we broke those contracts down. But is that attitude changing?
I think we are starting to see a change in that. Because we've heard every kind of pushback under the sun and excuse under the sun. When we've examined comments like that, actually there's no truth to them. We found no evidence, and believe me, we have had to look, that working in a different way pushes the cost up of a project. It just simply doesn't. Poor contract management and poor procurement design pushes up the costs of a project. So we're very much advocacy by achievement, and showing that actually when you do things in a different way, you make it fairer, you make it non-discriminatory, you get all of these other amazing spin-off benefits, and you deliver your product on time, in budget, and all of the other things that are required. So it is very difficult to actually find evidence for some of those comments. And we're still, we still continue to get that type of feedback, but simply the proof isn't there.
COVID would have also dictated where we get the services from, and looking more looking locally around the Motu would be more efficient for the likes of Auckland Council and the government to look in their own backyards, as opposed to those international companies perhaps that had a monopoly on some of those contracts, because that was an issue for our Māori businesses as well. Not only the economy of scale, but they were tendering against international multi-conglomerates, global conglomerates. But has COVID also tip the balance in our favour?
Absolutely. I think there is a real sense of urgency that we need to get ahead of this recession, because I don't believe that actually we have felt the worst of it yet. What we do know is that economic shocks hit Māori and Pasifika first, hardest and longest. And the best thing that we can do to insulate against that is to really back our Māori and Pasifika entrepreneurs and enable them to grow. One of the things that I was so thrilled with, in the first lockdown last year, my colleagues continued to award contracts. $20 million worth of contracts went to Amotai registered businesses in just that first lockdown. Now, that's phenomenal. That enabled those businesses to confidently keep on their staff. It meant they could go to the bank and sort out cash flow issues because they knew that there was work or light at the end of the tunnel. So for us, this is something that we can do that will help us to get ahead of the aftershocks of COVID, which we could be experiencing for a very long time. And also to, you know, there is mana motuhake in being your own boss. It is probably the only realistic pathway to wealth, generating wealth, and being able to own your own home. So here in Tāmaki, on average, Māori employers, so Māori who own their own business and then employ others, earn twice as much as Māori who are employees. And also the amazing thing is that our Māori employers are on par in terms of average incomes with non-Māori. Now, you don't see that happen anywhere else in the country, and you don't see that happening in employment. It is only happening with our Māori entrepreneurs here in Tāmaki. That's special. Now, in times of economic crisis, you need to back winners. You need them to go further, faster, because they are the ones that are going to generate more and more opportunity for our people. And the thing is, the Amotai registered businesses, they have, oh gosh, I think they're up to more than 7,000 FTEs working for our almost 600 businesses. That's significant. And that workforce is predominantly Māori and Pasifika. So not only are we role modelling entrepreneurship and those really important values and skills of entrepreneurship, we're also employing our own.